So what is special about today? Remembrance Day, yes. Not only is it Remembrance Day, but it is also Remembrance Sunday. Now, Remembrance Sunday is the second Sunday in November, and it is known as Remembrance Sunday. That's a Sunday closest to Remembrance Day. And exactly 100 years ago, on the 11th day, or on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, in 1918, the hostilities of the World War I ended. And so that makes today a super special day. So this is a special Remembrance Day, a day in which it is appropriate for us to see what God has to say about memorials. Now, Remembrance Day is the one day each year when we try to remember those who served in the armed forces and died in the line of duty. And to help us remember, countries all over the world have built these massive, awesome memorials. I want to show you one. Okay, so this is the Canadian National Vimy Memorial. It's in France. And it is dedicated to the Canadian soldiers who died in World War I. Now, yesterday, our prime minister was there for a wreath-laying ceremony. So this is quite an impressive and massive, awesome memorial. So imagine if you were standing right there. It sits right on the piece of land where the Battle of Vimy Ridge took place. And look at the size of these people compared to these pillars. Now, it took great effort to build this monument. These two pillars are 30 meters from the platform here. And so when you're standing there, it would just be such an awesome experience. Takes your breath away, a feeling of, wow, this is really awesome. Now, there are many war memorials, and it is proper for us to honor our soldiers with these memorials. But this morning, I want to talk to you about a different kind of memorial. I want to talk to you about building memorials to remember God. Because when you think of it, this Vimy Memorial is awesome. But ultimately, the wows and the awe should really go to God, because how great and how awesome is our God. And today, God is calling us to build memorials to remember him. Now, a memorial, according to Merriam-Webster, is simply a reminder. It's simply something that keeps our remembrances alive. But for the purposes of this sermon, let us define a memorial as a thing or an event that helps us to remember the acts of God. And so this can be either a monument, a testimony, a special ceremony like a graduation ceremony, a ritual such as an ordinance in a church, a baptism. Or it could also be a keepsake, such as a souvenir, special note that you write someone, a memoir that you leave, or a diary, whether it be a devotional diary or maybe a prayer diary. So in other words, a memorial is just simply something that helps us to remember the acts of God. But if you're like some of my millennial children, the biggest question whenever we say that they need to do something, the biggest question is why, right? So I want to address that right off the bat. Why should we build a memorial? Okay, so the first reason is that we tend to forget God. Now, back in chapter 3 of Joshua, the Israelites were getting ready to cross the Jordan River to get into the promised land. And Joshua tells them, consecrate yourself because tomorrow God is going to do something great. And then he tells each tribe that they must choose one person to do a special task. And I presume that he probably gave them an idea of what the special task was. But keep in mind that they are very busy. There's the packing of all of their belongings, food and water, and taking down the tents, caring for the children, caring for the grandparents, caring for those that are sick and lame, and even caring for what little livestock they still have left. So they're all very busy getting ready to cross this Jordan River. Now, the last thing that they would want to do is to stop and pick up a stone in the middle of the river. But you know, in the middle of their busyness, God just breaks in. God interrupts their busyness, and he commands them to pick up a stone. Now, this is not just a tiny little pebble, okay? Not even just a tiny little stone, but one so large that they needed to carry it out on their shoulder to get it out of the river. And so God is telling them, build me a memorial. Don't forget me in your busyness. And so the story conveys to us that God wants us to remember him. He loves us so much that he wants to have a relationship with us. And even when we are just so busy with life, God just breaks into our busyness and he yearns for us to remember him. And that is why God commanded that a memorial be set up. And in our lives today, we have objects that remind us of special friends, right? Like we have our wedding rings, our engagement rings, our friendship rings. We have special watches. This is not so special, but I'm sure that some of you are wearing a very special watch, like maybe an Apple Watch, okay? Or we have photos that people give to us, and we have just very sentimental objects, souvenirs that our special friends give to us. And so we treasure them and we value them. Why? Not so much that the souvenir is something you really treasure, but that souvenir says something to you. It says, I love you. And it says, please don't forget me. And so we hang on to those. And God knows that we are human and that we tend to forget him. We are so busy with what we are doing that we have no time to remember his mercies. We have no time to remember his mighty works. No time to pray, no time to worship, no time to reflect upon his word. But, you know, it is dangerous to forget God. The Bible tells us that when people forget God, they turn to idols. And this made God jealous, sad, and angry. And as a result, God turned his face away from his people. In Jeremiah 18, verses 15 and 17, says this, yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient paths. And then God says in verse 17, like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. And so when God turns his face away, that means that God will not be blessing them. They face disasters without God. And in the Old Testament, whenever God turned his face towards his people, he blessed them with health and prosperity. In Deuteronomy, just shortly before Moses died, he warned the people not to forget God. He said this, Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 14, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So even for us today, when we forget God, we can become proud, and we can feel like we do not need God. We pursue and worship idols resulting in God turning his face away from us. And so God knows how easy it is for us to forget him. And therefore, God commanded the people to set up a memorial for the purpose of remembering the acts of God. And so right now, I just want us to think and just examine our own hearts. Have we forgotten God in our own busyness? Have our hearts become so cold towards God because our hearts are set on earthly things? Are we just plain too busy for God, reaching out for greater achievements in life, for money, even for sex, for drugs, for status, and for power? And so when we forget God, will we end up pursuing and worshiping idols? Now, an idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives. And when we forget God, we also can become proud, feeling that we do not need God. And then as a result, God will turn his face away from us and not bless us. And so be careful that in all of your busyness, you do not forget God. And set up reminders for yourself to just spend some time with God alone. So these reminders can be like a picture that you might have, or a Bible verse, or a wall hanging. Or maybe it is simply just leaving your Bible out somewhere where you can see it every day. Or maybe some of you have a Bible app that sends you reminders to spend time alone with God. Because we all need reminders. Because of the fact that we do tend to forget God in our busyness. And we find out from this story today that God permits us to use memorials as reminders. And so we see in Joshua that memorials are really God's idea to help us to remember him. So the next reason why we need to build memorials is that they help all people know the Lord, to know that God is mighty, that he is powerful. And ultimately, we want all people to eventually come to know God personally. And so that's why each one of us needs to have at least one memorial so that we can share this memorial with people as a means of connecting people with God. And for the Israelites, the purpose of setting up a memorial was so that they can teach their children, and not only their children, but to be able to teach all people. In Joshua 4, we also see, thank you, Michelle, for reading that. In Joshua 4, we see that it says, "Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty." God wanted them to teach their descendants that he is mighty. And so the stone memorial was a reminder of two great acts. The two great acts are, first of all, the Jordan River that they crossed, and also then secondly, the crossing of the Red Sea. And of course, as they talked about crossing the Red Sea, I'm sure that they would have told them about the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt, right? And how mighty the hand of God was in bringing them out. Also, in teaching these mighty miracles, of course, what will come through in this teaching is that God cares, God protects, and God provides. And so when these stories are told, the impact of hearing of the mighty works of God was really far-reaching. We know that because back in chapter 2 of Joshua, we know that Joshua sent in two spies to survey the land of Jericho. And they came across a woman named Rahab, who possibly was a prostitute, or maybe an innkeeper, because of the way that prostitute is translated, could possibly also mean that she's an innkeeper. And so she told the spies this, I know that the Lord has given you the land, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And so all of their enemies heard how mighty and how powerful God was, and they became so afraid of God's people. So that's a story we have in the Old Testament. But now I want to tell you a more contemporary story, okay? And I don't know how many of you would have heard of this story, but this happened in August of 2010. There were 33 miners in Chile who became trapped underground for 69 days when the mine that they were working in collapsed. And so during that time, they turned to faith in God and prayer. And then after their rescue, they recounted how their faith in God and prayer helped them survive. And they shared the miracles that they saw. So they had enough food for 2 days. And they decided right from the onset that they would ration these 2 days of food to last them 16 days, because they were hoping to be found on day 16 or 17. Okay, so each day they would open one can of tuna, and they shared it, that one can of tuna, amongst 33 people. And then on the 16th day, their food ran out. But in the meantime, they discovered that one of the miners was a Christian and knew how to pray. So they asked him to teach him how to pray. And one colleague became very ill. And so one of the miners said, "We made this prayer. We gathered around him, right in front of him, and we prayed. And the next day, God healed him. And he was doing better than all the rest of us." And then on day 17, when their food ran out, they were found. They were found, but they were not yet rescued out of the mine. So what the people did was they drilled a borehole and they lowered food and water and a camera to them through this hole. But it took them until day 69 to dig them out of and to get them out of that mine. But you know, the 33 miners credited God with protecting them, and they said that there was a 34th miner in there. God was the 34th miner. And so they told their stories to their children and to people all over the world. And then within 5 years, Christian producers got a hold of their story, and they produced a film called The 33, which reenacted the mighty acts of God in this movie. And I don't know if any of you saw it. It came out in 2015 in theaters all over the world. The mighty acts of God in this survival, search and rescue, brings us to a feeling of awe for God. And so when you think of it, the wow really belongs to God. And you know, granted, our own personal encounters of the mighty acts of God might not be quite that dramatic, but yet God has given us the command that each of us needs to build a memorial so that we can tell our stories to our children, to other people's children, to those who are neglected, and ultimately to share our story with all people around the world. And when we experience the hand of God in our lives, we must figure out how to tell our stories well, because a well-developed story, a well-presented story of God's mighty acts can be used over and over again in many different contexts. And then be prepared. Look for those opportunities when you can share your story over and over again. Because it doesn't matter how small or how insignificant you might feel your testimony is. Because to you, it was a real encounter with God. You know, recently I learned to play pickleball, and I play with someone called Dr. William Wong. Some of you may know him in Edmonton, and I'm not good yet at playing pickleball, not yet, but for now I get so excited at 1 point that I can score on the courts. For me, it is hard to get even 1 point. And so I rejoice at every point I get. And I just throw my arms up in the air. Yay, I got 1 point. And I don't care if my opponents are winning and they have a lot more points than me, because yay, for me, I got 1 point. And for me, that is so exciting, right? And so we need to look at our testimonies that way. Rejoice in them and work hard to share them fluently. You know, a friend of mine, some of you might even know her. She died of lung cancer. Her name is Paula Young. She was a Christian dentist who went to China regularly to do Christian dental missions. And possibly we think that she might have got her lung cancer from being in the mines in China on a regular basis, because she's not a smoker. She started to blog about her journey when she was diagnosed with lung cancer almost every day, I guess, and just to tell people what God was doing in her life. And so this blog became her memorial, her legacy for all future descendants. So for us, I want us to look back at our own experiences of God. When is it that you have experienced God? What about baptism? Or what about the day that you opened your life to Christ? Or maybe it is in finding a special friend, maybe finding your marriage partner, or maybe it is in finding a job. Maybe for you, you just need to take the first step and just be baptized. I heard that there's a baptismal service in 2 weeks. Baptism becomes your memorial. Learn to write out your baptismal testimony, your salvation testimony, and then learn to be comfortable at sharing that testimony with people. Or maybe God is calling you to grow in your prayer life, to attend some prayer meeting or workshops, or to start a prayer journal. Your prayer journal or your devotional journal becomes your memorial. Memorials can also be regular rituals or events that are meaningful. For example, if you enjoy camping, you can sit around a campfire to share stories of where you saw the hand of God in the past year. Now, our family did this back in July. We shared what we were thankful for and what we wanted prayer for. And then as a family, we went around the circle and we prayed for each other. And so this can become a memorial, a meaningful family tradition. And, you know, actually any gathering can become a memorial if you intentionally plan for some way of retelling a mighty act of God in your life. For example, if you have a board game night or a ski weekend, be intentional. Be ready to share devotionally, but make it brief. Okay, this can be done really nicely if you wrap up your event with a formal thank you to everyone and pre-assign someone to lead in 5 minutes of devotional sharing and then pray together as a group. Share what you are thankful for and how you have experienced God this week. You create memories that way, and you might even stimulate some discussion about what you share. Because God wants us to remember his mighty works. And he is saying to us today, build memorials to remember me. Share what I have done. And by doing this, you can help all people to know the Lord. And then beyond that, we also need to reflect upon the memorial, because they encourage us to fear God forever. In Joshua 4:24b, it says that the reason why God showed forth his mighty works is so that we may fear the Lord your God forever. But you know, in order for this to take place, we must choose to remember and to relive the mighty acts of God in our hearts and minds. And to do this, we will learn to fear God forever. You know, David was a man of God who really feared God. And the one thing that helped him to grow in fearing God was that he reminded himself about the mighty works of God. We see this in what he wrote in Psalm 77, verse 12. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. You know, there are many scriptures that indicate that David meditated and pondered on God's mighty deeds. We see that in Psalm 143, verse 5, David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. So it is only as we ponder the works of God, the works of his mighty hand, that we will develop a heart of thankfulness, awe, wonder, and praise. And as we relive those times in our hearts and minds, we will find encouragement, and we will continue to fear God forever. And right now, just allow me to share with you a recent experience that I have had. And now I've shared this experience with people on just various numerous occasions. I've shared it with my family, with my coworkers, with my friends. And now I want to share it with you. So my husband is a medical doctor, and recently in April, he decided to move his practice. So he relocated it. And his practice consists 95% of patients that are Chinese-speaking. They speak only Cantonese or Taiwanese. And so we asked God to help us find a licensed practical nurse, an LPN, they call it, who speaks Cantonese. And of course, you have to speak English, right? In Canada, you have to speak English. So we asked God for someone who speaks Cantonese and English. But unable to find a nurse, I offered to be his medical office assistant. But then 2 weeks before we opened the clinic, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. But God was merciful because this breast cancer was discovered at stage zero with no spread. And there was only a small lump. And that was successfully removed within 5 weeks of discovering it, which was also amazing. And they didn't need to remove the breast or any lymph nodes. And that, again, was amazing. And as a precaution, they then offered to give me radiation. But no chemotherapy would be needed, I was told, and so I will not lose my hair. And that was amazing. So we prayed hard for an LPN. And many nurses applied. Some even lied to try to get the interview. Many applied saying that they speak Cantonese and English. Even some Muslim people said they spoke Cantonese, but when we interviewed them, they didn't speak Cantonese. So in desperation, I took the job, and I decided to take the job because I used to be a pharmacist before, and my Cantonese is doable. It's not great, but it's doable, right? But then people told me that, no, you shouldn't be working. You're going for radiation. You'll be so tired, your immunity will be down. But you know, what happened was that at just the right time, the very day that I was scheduled to go and have my radiation therapy, on the very first day of my radiation therapy, we found an LPN. And what is amazing about this is that this is Casey Ma. She's a Ma, so she speaks Taiwanese. Okay, born into a Taiwanese family, raised through a Mandarin bilingual school, perfectly fluent in Mandarin. Because she's born in Edmonton, she's perfectly fluent in English. She went through 12 years of Mandarin school plus 2 years of university Mandarin. So she's able to read and write Chinese as well. And that was one of the setbacks, because when I worked for my husband, I Google translated everything back and forth, and then I just assume it's okay. And I know it's not perfectly okay, but they get the message, right? But with this LPN, she doesn't use Google Translate. She knows it up here. So that was amazing. She does all of our memos and posters in Chinese, and she is young, which is another bonus. So the timing of her employment was amazing, truly an answer to prayer. Her qualifications went above and beyond what we asked God for. And you know, this week, as I was working, I still work like 3.5 hours a week just to keep my foot in the door in case Casey gets sick. But this week I was in there working and a Toy Sneeze patient came up to me and he said, "You are lucky, whole toy, to have hired her." So I said to him, "My whole toy, hi, sang I eager," meaning my whole toy, hi, sang die bege. Some might say this is a coincidence, but in my own heart, I know it's God's timing. It's God's intervention. This is God's grace and God's mercy. And because of that, I will choose to tell my story in that manner. And so I have shared this story with my coworkers and with people at the gym and friends at church and especially with our family over and over again during some suppers because I am awestruck by the power of God to protect and to provide. And when I reflect on the mighty acts of God, like David in the Psalms, my heart is encouraged and I am moved to fear God more and to trust him through life. As I walk through life, I know that he will walk through life with me. And allow me to share just one more incident with you. About 30 years ago, I gave birth to our first baby. But she had a trisomy 18 chromosome, which made her incompatible with life. She would not be able to survive. And we knew that from day one. She died at the age of four months. And then I tried to have another baby again. But this time my pregnancy went haywire and it became cancerous. And it was what they called a molar pregnancy. And so at that time, my gynecologist said to me, "You know, lightning never strikes at the same spot twice, but with you it did." And then he said, "This form of cancer can come back whenever you get pregnant." And so he said, "If you ever get pregnant, we will assume that it is a cancer unless we wait 7 weeks and we give you an ultrasound and see the baby's heart. So if you choose never to have a baby again, I will understand, because most women would choose never to have a baby again, never to try again. So if you never want to try again, I can fix that. I can make sure you never have a baby again." But you know, when I reflected on the mighty hand of God and the sustaining power and presence of God, I was convinced that with God, I can face anything. And reflecting on God's mighty presence literally gave me courage to try to have another baby. And God has blessed us with four. So the wow really does go to God. And so my challenge for you today is to learn to think theologically. And how do you think theologically? Well, ask yourself, where is the hand of God in this situation that I'm facing now? Try to trace the hand of God. What did I learn about God in this experience? And how does this experience make me feel towards God? And why is that even important? So we learn to build memorials by learning to tell and retell over and over again our stories of how God worked powerfully in our lives. You know, we tend to forget God. And therefore, God wants us to build memorials to remember his mighty deeds in our lives. And we need to share those memorials and then reflect upon those memorials so that we learn to fear God. How will you pass along what you remember? What will be your memorials? So I want to encourage you to use your memorials to share what God has done for you in a profoundly powerful way. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, so that they too will see God's mighty acts, and all peoples will be in awe of God and worship and fear God forever. Because, as I said earlier, really, ultimately, the wow must go to God. And in a moment, I want to lead us in prayer. And I know I've been talking to you about sharing the mighty acts of God in your life. But, you know, if you have nothing to share of the mighty acts of God, and you just cannot remember even experiencing the hand of God in your life, then today is the day that you need to open up your life to God. You need to open up your life to Jesus. Invite him in, and then you too will experience the mighty hand of God. You will experience his power in loving you, in forgiving you, in walking through life with you. And so let this Remembrance Day become a special day of memorial, a memorial of all the mighty acts of God in your life. Okay, I just want to invite all of you to stand and just want to pray for us. So as I pray, I want you to just think about where you're at in your life. If there have never been any occasion where you've experienced God, maybe you want to open up your heart and life to him today. And I just will pray a simple prayer to help you to open up your life to Jesus. And if that is really your wish today, I want you to just pray this earnestly in your own heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mighty acts. Thank you that you are able to speak to us today. Thank you for desiring to be in my life. Thank you for loving me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will forgive me for all the sins in my heart that I have committed against you. I pray that you will come into my heart to live in my heart and life and to be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for that. And God, for the rest of us, Lord, for all of us, God, we thank you, we praise you, that indeed you are an awesome and a powerful God, and that we can learn to fear you. We thank you for the mighty acts that you have done in our lives. And we thank you that you love us so much that you want us to remember those acts, even though we tend to forget you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to learn as we journey through life, God, that we would learn to remember you, to learn to set up those memorials in our lives so that we can share it with our children, our friends, our neighbors, and ultimately to share it with people all over the whole world. For God, you desire to be not only in our lives, but in the lives of all people. And Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom to know how to allow you to work in our lives in that manner. And we thank you and we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.